Torg Eternity, Delphi Council Debriefing, where the storm has a name. We are your hosts, Jay and Lehman, and today we should be wrapping up with key number two, which is know your setting slash the purpose of your game, or in a Torg Eternity, it would be the purpose of the reality that you are having your adventure in. So we didn't get any emails, so you can email us at torgdcd@gmail.com, and we will read your emails. We will answer your emails to the best of our ability. You can comment, and we can, we will comment back. So having said that, we're going to jump into Pan Pacifica, and then hopefully wrap up with Tharkhold. So in Pan Pacifica, we've been talking about the knee-jerk kind of genres or specific movies and other media that you tell your players if you just want to give them a very high overview. And with Pan Pacifica, I kind of say it's Cyberpunk 2077 with bio stuff instead of the cybernetics. So other than that, Jay, what would you recommend as some inspiration that your players and game masters can get for a good Pan Pacifica campaign or adventure?
That's the big one. The way I always look at it, because it's like natural to think cyberpapacy equals cyberpunk because they've got cyberware. But really, I think Pan Pacifica is closer to cyberpunk, like the actual themes and mood of cyberpunk, than the cyberpapacy is. So yeah, you do replace all of the cybernetics with gene mods, which, you know, it's basically the same thing. The different,
yeah, mechanically, you know, sort of wise brush.
Yeah, they pretty much work the same. They're not as, well, they're mostly not as overt, but some are. So yeah, any kind of cyberpunk media will help. Cyberpunk 2077, Cyberpunk 2020, even some of the weirder ones like Cyberpunk 2030X, and especially with the whole contagion and everything, Cyber Generations kind of fits into that. But actually, any, it doesn't have to be cyberpunk. It could be like Shadowrun, because of the ubiquitousness of the gene mods, anyone could look like an orc or an elf, and right, they could have been an orc, well, not an orc, but an elf. They could have been an elf from Isle who transformed in Pan Pacifica. So you can use a lot of Shadowrun stuff as well. Aside from that, there's a lot of the other classic cyberpunk movies like Blade Runner, and also you kind of get into some of the like martial arts, Jackie Chan, kind of like Hong Kong cop kind of thing. That is a definite inspiration. And then finally, like for me, I was like the Guyver, you know, for the power suits. I mean, if you really want to go there, there's an old Canadian TV show called Captain Power that's really out there. But if you want power suits, there you go. But the thing is, you can get really flashy with a lot of stuff, and then also even, you know, like hackers and things like that. But you always want to keep things kind of down to the street level, the rain, the fluorescent lights, more of that cyberpunk feel to it. If you kind of go a little bit too bombastic, it can turn into an anime, which for some people, maybe that's what they want. But if you go full boomer, then it can kind of get out of control. So I like to keep it kind of like down a peg. It's not the Nile Empire.
Right. I was also thinking you can, with the bio aspect, you can kind of put in elements of Splice. And you mentioned... And if you still have the contagion, you can bring in those aspects of like the Resident Evil or the more scientific bio-based zombies and what happens.
Train to Busan, the best zombie movie.
Instead of like the mystical zombie or in normal Gosspog and stuff. So there's a lot of things out there. One thing that I wanted to emphasize, because it was stated in the Pan Pacifica book, the source book, but I wanted to like even push it, that idea a little bit more, is everybody has access with a big if. So there's things, and you can fix problems, you can have good things happen, but there's always a subscription, an EULA to sign, a company that you have to work for, otherwise they take away your subscription and your access to those needed things that sometimes are what are keeping you alive. Very similar to like we were talking about with Cyberpunk, how depending on how much you pay and who the med vacs will come in and
Yeah, do you have a trauma
save
team
you
account?
or not, depending. So all of that is really important because while Cyberpapacy has the you spend your perk, your XP on your perk, and then you get your the sanctioned cyberware to be desanctioned, so the it's not spying on you. And in Tharkles, you get it kind of the corrupted magic, the demonic magic siphoned away, and it's not hurting you. So that aspect with the biomods is you don't have to pay that subscription, but you're Storm Knights. So as game masters, you might want to include those type of story hooks and plots into your game where, yeah, the Storm Knight, he has his third generation biomod that's been hacked and all of the subscription-based stuff taken away, but the normal people in Pan Pacifica don't. So what happens if one of their contacts lost their job and their job is no longer paying for their subscription to whatever gene mod is keeping them alive? That's a nice hook that can get the players invested. So there's lots of things like that. Again, it's taking things that are happening in the real world and which are even more than they were 3 years ago when Pan Pacifica came out. I mean, it was bad back then. And now it's like, oh, you want your high beams to go on in your car? Pay a monthly subscription. You want those heated seats? Pay a subscription. Well, this is just that step further, and where people's lives are on the line, so they can't afford to lose a job or get fired or even switch. And they're kind of stuck in that corporate web because their very lives depend on it. And then you have like your rebel groups and your lone wolves out there and the societies and corporations that are trying to band together the corporations to get that access instead of having Kanawha kind of be at the top. They see that they want it as well, but you have your few rebels and stuff who are trying to break the system, and that's another a way that you can bring into it. But while that was, like I said, that was discussed in Pan Pacifica, I wanted to emphasize that more, that that's basically how everything not Storm Knight related is. And even though on the appearance, again, similar to the Cyber Papacy, it might look like a utopia, it is not. The High Lord of Pan Pacifica is not a benevolent being. She's as evil as the rest of them. She just has a different way of going about it. Sure, I can give you these benefits to your life, but they come at big costs of you staying a cog in the machine. So what are your thoughts and stuff like that to help game masters and possibly players to set that mood, set that setting for Pan Pacifica?
Pan Pacific has been through this kind of wild ride because I think when Torg Eternity first launched, there was like this effort of being, it's not Nippon tech, it's different. There's zombies, there's other stuff. But it eventually goes back. And at its core, everything in Pan Pacifica is about corporate overreach. The corporations are meddling in every moment of your lives. So, as Limit said, there's some nice prime examples in real life lately, but as GM, you should really think of more and even ramp it up. Imagine you send someone, you take your Zuzu, you call someone, you talk about it. Did you mention any copyrighted materials? You get charged for licensing for those, stuff like that. just think of like how ridiculous it could possibly get, and it can get there, which does make a lot of people kind of hopeless. You know, they're just sort of drones, cogs in the machine, as you mentioned, but also the lone wolves. There's a lot of, in true cyberpunk fashion, there's a lot of money to be made by being a merc and, you know, going out there and doing things that the cogs won't do. But that also brings another interesting part where it has the second highest social axiom. It's, some might say it's the highest non-compromised social axiom, right? So they are very, I guess that's the word I'm looking for, welcoming, you know, but as long as you've got money, you know, they don't care. There's less discrimination aside from money purposes. And that can sometimes also make players or Storm Knights or even GMs think that, oh, well, then it must be easy. There's lots of allies out there. But no, the law of, like, basically just the law of intrigue means almost anyone you talk to is probably going to stab you in the back. Like in the cyber papacy, they might snitch on you. But they're probably not going to actively do anything against you, whereas in Pan Pacifica, they're going to use you as the stepladder to get themselves to the next level. So one of the other things that I, it's kind of the same thing as in the Nile Empire, where I said you always want to have a few minor heroes and villains like just ready. Have a few people like NPCs ready that can be good traitors. You know? Don't necessarily, if people are playing contact cards or something like that, you don't want to have them turn traitor automatically, especially if it's from a perk or something. However, if someone then plays a Cosm card that affects it, then it's, you know, all bets are off. Yeah, that's sort of like the one thing I like to focus on is the hopelessness of the general population. Then the people who dare, the lone wolves, stand out and make big bucks, but then, you know, die fast in a big blaze of glory. And the machine still churns as it all goes. So, in some ways, it's almost as hopeless as Oroch, even though it may seem like you get cool perks, but that's from us looking at it from it's kind of close to reality. So, you know.
So another thing that you'd mentioned at the beginning, it was this isn't just Nippon Tech rehashed. You know, we have zombies and other things. And one of the things that I've thought about recently with Pan Pacifica is it's almost the flip side of it being a hidden war. So in classic Torg, Nippon Tech dropped down, they lessened their storms around the border, and for a very long time, most of the population of Earth did not think or have any idea that it had been invaded. And while that was true somewhat in Torg Eternity, Quinn Sebastian knew otherwise, and pretty much the Delphi Council, the Storm Knights, everybody on his, you know, within his communication sphere knows or at least highly suspects that that area, that the contagion happened in wasn't
Yeah,
just a,
suspicious.
you know, a separate non-coincidental thing that happened when everybody else was getting invaded. But the flip side is that the locals don't realize that they've been invaded because of that high social axiom. The bad side of that social axiom is propaganda and convincing through media, however it is, mass media or social media or whatever. Spreading disinformation, misinformation, and a bunch of that stuff to make the populace think that everything else that the world is reporting is just bad, it's fake news, it's whatever is needed to kind of. Kanawha came in and they saved us.
Yeah.
And you just don't want, you know, Kanawha to have the proper, you know, kudos or whatever
Yeah.
that they deserve for, you know, helping us all out. So it's very reinforced on the inside, and it will be very hard for a Storm Knight to convince somebody inside that no, you have been invaded. Look at all this stuff. Is it a coincidence? Well, they have all the explanations because they've had that hammered into them.
Was that Zuzu a Zuzu yesterday? I mean, come
Right.
on. I think also, like, every reality kind of has that to an extent, because most of the Ords don't go anywhere else, unlike the
Right.
globe-trotting Storm Knights. So you try to tell people about dinosaurs in North America, but when you're being attacked by the Walking Dead and vampires and things in India, you don't care,
Right,
right?
right.
So it's a lot of the same in Pan Pacifica. People are telling you you've been invaded. It's like, even if we have, so what?
Right.
I don't think we have. We're still living much the same as we always did. It's not like all these other ones. And really, mind your own business.
Exactly. So that's something that as a game master you can kind of throw at your party a little bit disbelief because yeah, that Monster Hunter in Aurorish isn't going to care about that dinosaur, but he'll probably accept, you know, hey, there's vampires and werewolves here. There probably are dinosaurs in, you know, North America, and in England there's probably elves. You know, all makes perfect sense to me. No, it doesn't, but okay, I'll believe those people from over there where Pan Pacifica populace is just like, nah, you're just making stuff
Fake
up.
news.
Yep. So I think that is kind of an interesting thing. And again, as we said, almost everything within Pan Pacific can easily be traced to something that would occur or people were afraid of and or thought about in Core Earth. So it's not that bad. I mean, we start d doing gene, you know, genetic modifications, and everybody, you know, oh no, they're, you know, putting rat DNA in our corn. Now
They're
they're,
making direwolves.
you know, yeah, they're making, you know, dire wolves. Sure, they accidentally made zombies. That makes perfect sense to their mind. It was just one of those experiments gone wrong. Or yeah, last, you know, 2 years ago, the corporations were making us pay subscriptions for, you know, X, A, B, and C, and now it's X, Y, and Z. Yeah, it's further on, but they've been kind of conditioned to accept that type of thing. So I think that's all very interesting that game masters can use in it to kind of conjure up some good plot hooks and stuff. So what else would you say about, you were talking about like the Kung Fu. We didn't talk about psionics or the martial arts, the psionics and the power suit stuff.
That's the thing. There's just so much
Yes.
in Pan Pacifica. It's hard to narrow it down. I was going to actually talk about, I think, one of the biggest things about that realm compared to a lot of others, except maybe Core Earth, is the ubiquitousness of tech. Especially when the source book came out and the law of rationality was added instead of vengeance. I like to always, like, everyone there is obsessed with tech. You've got your Zuzus, you've got your gene mods, power suits, all kinds of stuff. It's, again, I guess the highest uncompromised tech level, because Tech 25 in Tharkold is not normal tech that people are using. Although we'll get to that in a bit about maybe what's going on in Russia outside of Tharkold. But then and then in Cyber Papacy, you're only allowed to use tech that was divinely brought forth, right? So it's not like it's user friendly. It's just anything the Cyber Pope deemed had inspiration from Ebonescrux. So there is super advanced stuff, but it's very limited. Whereas in Pan Pacifica, it's everywhere. Everyone's got it. Your level of access might be depending on your managerial status, like who you are. Everyone has a Zuzu. It's not necessarily the same Zuzu. There's better ones with more programs and different things, but everyone's got something. So I like to always bring that up. Like, anytime you go anywhere, there's tech everywhere. If you go to some remote village, there's still kids on Zuzus. They're,
Right.
they're not playing soccer. They have like a hologram ball or something. I don't know, right? Or they're in VR. So I find that also really helps kind of like break it up from a lot of the other realities. And then I kind of like to keep power suits a little in the back. Like I don't trot them out too often. It's more like, uh-oh, it's serious. Here come power suits. Especially if you're using the Patriot Arms ones with the miniguns and things, you've got to be careful because you could paste people with those things pretty quick. But it is also interesting, and I think it's something else that a lot of other GMs don't necessarily think too much about, is that there's different companies, not just for the power suit perks, but they provide different things, but they're also active in different areas of the world. So if you're in Korea, like South Korea or North Korea, you should be encountering Anyong power suits. If you're in Japan, it would be Kanawha, you know, et cetera. So I like also making sure, even though it's supposed to be all one Pan-Pacific Union, I can't, what's the actual full term now? Pan-Pacifica Alliance, I can't remember now. But they're all supposed to be one, but there are still some regional differences in different corporations, even though they're all mostly owned by Kanawha. They have their own individual flavors. So I do like kind of also altering the flavor a bit depending on where you go from that.
Yeah, that's definitely a good idea to have the different companies, so you don't get into the rut of everything being Kanawha all
Yeah.
places all the
I mean, it
time.
is all
It,
Kanawha,
right,
but
but
yeah.
there's shell corporations and subsidiaries and buyouts and takeovers and such, and it's so convoluted that figuring it out sometimes can be a plot of an adventure or a thread to get Storm Knights from A to Z, is figuring out where the trail of ownership and subsidiaries are in that.
I mean,
So,
and then the guy from the Living Lands is going, "What are you talking about?"
right, can't I just beat something with stick? But no, the tech point is really good, because I also think the tech where it is easy enough to for core Earth people, even if they just go in, to like accept. It's like, 2008 again, and the iPhone first comes out, our first fart smartphone, not fart smartphone. Our first smartphone comes out, and now we all use them, and nobody has a problem, and it didn't take long for the users to use them. So I think that is pretty much how a core Earth person would go to Pan Pacifica and look at Isuzu and be like, "Oh, I can deal with this. This is just a upgrade of a smartphone, even though it's not exactly
So I
a
call it a
smartphone."
genius phone.
Right. It's a genius phone. So I think that is important to understand also, that there's we can link all the connections. So in other places, there might not be those connections, and that's kind of why it's a, "Hey, you've been invaded. Oh yeah, my memory, my badly deteriorating memory is kind of, there were other things than what it is." But Storm Knights are reality rated. They can piece those things together, that this is not
Yeah,
linked
everyone
to
else
what it
is like,
was before.
those kids change what app is big every few months, you know?
Right, and in the Pan Pacific, it's just like, okay, that's how it goes. So yeah, I usually keep the power armor to the back. I do the same with psionics, because corporations hate psionics. That's a thing, because corporations can't control the psionics. If there was a way for them to put a subscription on it and cancel it when you didn't pay, or you would have to buy tiers or pay a certain amount
Yep.
for each power, and then they just had powers that were locked behind management levels or whatever, then they would be all for that, but they can't do it. So they hate it, and that's why they try to suppress it. And that's a reason why the Law of Vengeance was replaced with the Law of Rationality, so that now it's harder to work those mystic things that even that Storm Knights from other places can bring in, that magic stuff. Nope, can't have just anybody wielding magic. Keep it to those subscription, keep it under our controls. If not, well, sorry, we're gonna make it harder for you. Go with tech. Tech's
Yeah,
great.
we can sell you some.
Right. So I think that's also an important concept to keep in mind when you're doing your Pan Pacifica stuff. So anything else that you wanted to say before we move on to Tharkold?
I think that most like covers everything I had written down anyway. I remembered a movie Deanna kept talking about, and I eventually watched and agreed. Push was also a very good psychics
Ah,
movie
okay.
that fits Pan Pacifica, that takes place in Hong Kong. So that's another one to watch.
Okay, sounds good. I'll need to watch that if I think I remember that being spoken about, but haven't seen it yet. But I'll need to look at that.
I
Always
mean, it's
trying
not
to.
Academy Award material or
Right,
anything, but
but
you
if it just
know.
kind of represents, like I said, if you can get some kernel of goodness within the media. I mean, we brought up
You
bad
can use some
movies
good
last time,
schlock in
so.
twerg,
Okay, so now let's move to the last place, Tharkold, which I think tends to be the most misunderstood of the reality, based on what it was in classic
so.
Torg, how it presents itself in Torg Eternity. And so I want to get into some depth with Tharkold. So, knee-jerk reaction. If I'm telling somebody, I normally just don't have one or two movies. I have three that I originally will say it's like this plus this plus this, because Tharkold is quite large. Russia is even larger. There's a lot of different things going on. So I'll say Mad Max, I'll say The Terminator, and I'll say Hellraiser. So those are my three big, if you want to know something about Tharkold, Mad Max, any of the movies, Mad Max, Hellraiser, and Terminator. So what would you add to your inspirational media?
Well, those were the first three. Although it is worth noting that Mad Max is only applicable in some areas.
Right.
And there's been kind of an almost, I don't know, some people kind of just equate Tharkold with the Blasted Lands. And sometimes I feel like the non-Blasted Lands section hasn't been as thoroughly explored, I guess.
Right.
Especially, and I guess we'll get to this later too, especially like what is going on with civilians and everything. But other than those, I had Hardware down, which is an old, probably hard to find movie from the 90s about, and it would be more of a Blasted Lands thing, but like about an attack robot getting, you know, reactivating itself in a bad way after scavengers find it. Okay, talking about the schlock movies, Battlefield Earth is a movie about Earth being taken over by a bunch of tall, lazy aliens that use their technological advantage to shock and awe and take over the world and then just horrifically mismanage the entire thing.
True.
So it is one of those so bad it's good kind of movies, but it does sort of have parallels to how the Tharkold do work. And then, yeah, otherwise I just had some other ones that were kind of more about like the, not necessarily body horror, but like some weird cyborgs and things like Space Hunter, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone, or hell, even some other like post-apocalypse kind of movies like Turbo Kid and stuff like that. But I think Terminators, Mad Maxes, and Hellraisers, I mean, that's like 16 movies at least, right?
Right.
All
That's a
on their
lot.
own. So that's a pretty good start.
Yeah, I would also as kind of a little bookmark or side note, say The Running Man for the game aspect of it, because that's one of the things that we'll probably talk about in a little bit. But you had mentioned everybody kind of first reaction is thinking about everything is Mad Max Blasted Land. So it's Blasted Land. Yes, I do know that our Mega Adventure is called has Blasted Lands in the title, That was on purpose because we felt it rolled off the tongue better to say blood on the blasted lands than just blood on the blasted land. But that's just a sound
Has
more.
anyone ever mentioned that to
I don't think so.
you?
But that is
Okay.
a thing. It's an area. It's one area. It's called the Blasted Land. It is when the invasion happened, the Moscow Maelstrom Bridge dropped and then got blown up by a nuclear bomb, and all the ashes, debris, nuclear material, Tharcoal pieces of stelae and the Maelstrom Bridge hit various areas of Russia and would be northeastern Europe, and converted that area into a mixed zone of Tharcoal and core earth, but it wasn't bound by stela, so no possibilities were going to the darkness device. And that kind of the mutants and the effect of the fallout with Tharcoal axioms and world laws made it into a Mad Maxy type experience. In the cities, however, you still have organizations, you still have governments. They're a little harsher, they're a little cruel, but hey, it was like that. You know, it's always been like that. It's who you know, who you're friends with, how powerful your friends are. That's what denotes your justice and things like that. And it's just gone a little more extreme. So if you think of how big the Russian area of Tharcoal is, which goes up to the Ural Mountains, so it's only the European part of Russia, the whole Asian part of Russia is still core earth, but that Europe part of Russia, the big cities and stuff are still under normal power structures. Now they might have a Tharcoal running it. They accept thralls. There were some deals that were made, but the bitter life is very understandable by the Russians, especially those who had went through Soviet times. So what would you have to add to that type of aspect with the cities versus the country, rural countryside stuff?
I like to think that the rural countryside, kind of like in the cyber papacy, has been kind of thinned a bit. In the cities, you can kind of feel safe, but if you're out in the countryside, a demon could just swoop down and grab you. I also like the imagery of giant synth cyclers sort of just trundling around and dismantling entire villages, you know, just to send all the raw materials back to the cities. I like look at them. It's interesting because I think out of all of the realities, Tharcoal is probably the one that's the most different between the Cosm and the Realm, right? So the Cosm is you know, is probably like war-torn wasteland, like in Terminator, right? There's, you know, there's probably these occult tech hives that the demons live in. There's ruins that the resistance, the race, are kind of like holed up in. I don't know if they have, like in classic Torg, there was entire nations and there was a lot of stuff, but I think that's pretty much a no-go anymore.
It's a lot tamped down.
Yeah, so, but in, so it's a war. Right, like it's a long war, so it's not constantly like major offensives, but it is war, like forever war there. But then here there's a peace treaty, and techno demons and humans and race are living side by side, and as long as the demons are fat and happy, I guess you're fine. But the question is, how long is that gonna last? Is Volkov going to do anything about it? Can he do anything about it? There's a lot of questions. So I imagine everyone is kind of worried because you say, yeah, okay, people have been used to this kind of thing, but it's a little bit different when it's some like oligarch's thugs driving by, you know, that they might shoot you or something, versus an actual incarnation of evil demon flying down the street and just like popping people for fun, and no one can do or say anything about it. That is one of the things I actually do, because I've run a substantial amount of games in Tharkold. It's my player's favorite cosm. So that any if they kill, like if the Storm Knights kill a Tharkoldu, everyone is afraid. They're like, no, you're going, you can't kill one of them. You're going to bring them down on us now. You know, they're going to make us suffer for what you did. And so there's a lot of people are scared to do anything, and that's like you're trying to get the glories, you're trying to get everyone up there, but like they've been beaten down and dominated so bad, even in the cities. Like it's easy to understand in the Blasted Land where it's warlords and everything, but the Blasted Land at least also is a mixed zone, so you do get these there was a word for them, but like there was the fortress cities in the Blasted Lands run by the Marauder clans. And like they're kind of brought into these charismatic marauder lords that are actively using core earth, like Law of the Underdog, Law of Hope, to bring these people. They're not good, right? But against, when it's them versus demons, it's like, okay, they're still the underdog. But in the cities where it's dominant or pure Tharkold, it's a different story. So that's also something to be aware of. Just like, how is the general population taking this? How does the realm look, and what's the difference between a pure dominant and mixed zone for Tharkold?
All of that is really good because the areas are very different. You do have like the blasted land, wasteland, Mad Max, and then there's little strongholds within them that are also similar to Mad Max. You have the marauders and junkers and driving and fuel scarcity and protecting themselves against other marauder gangs, as well as the occasional Tharkaldu who comes in to do a raid to collect a bunch of thralls, etc. And then you have your cities, which are on that uneasy alliance slash truce with the Russian government, as a hey, we'll consider Tharkaldu citizens. You don't mess with our human citizens. But then they came up with a method to take away citizenship. So then now you really want to do with what Russia wants you to do. Otherwise, you could lose your citizenship, and then you might become a thrall to a Tharkaldu, or you might be put into the games via a running man type scenario. And sometimes they're hooked up to video games, which then somebody's playing a video game and they're actually controlling something out there that is hunting the people in the games. And it's great fun to, watch. That is
As long as you're watching.
as long as you're watching and you're entertained that way. And then you have the whole, if we take one step outside of Tharkold and still in Russia, you have the whole Asian area of Russia, which is just core Earth. But Volkov is president of both sections. So, and while the Social 25 isn't always used to its full potential, like we talked about with Pan Pacifica, which even though it's the second, they use more of the social axiom than Tharkold does. Volkov's been in a position where he understands propaganda and he understands stuff. So he keeps things in Core Earth running smoothly, because then if things in Tharkold don't go well, he has a backup plan. He has backup forces that are under Core Earth, no, haven't transformed to Tharkold. And then he's expanding into Europe because, hey, that could become Tharkold. And then if I lose that, that's not as big of a deal than if I lose sections of my own country. So think about that type of stuff. What else would you have to say about Tharkold?
The importance of the dominance chain.
Okay.
So dominance is like the big, that is what is sort of hamstringing the social axiom, is that the strong dominate the weak. And it doesn't necessarily mean like muscle strong. It's just whoever has leverage on the other person. But you should also realize that it doesn't mean necessarily constantly having to make intimidation checks. Like there's an inherent level of dominance for different positions, and Storm Knights can kind of get away with pushing people around if they really need to, but only if they come across like some other important NPC would there really be a check or anything. And it's kind of like in the Nile Empire, how as players you should be willing to play along with the tropes. Same thing with the dominance chain in Tharkold. When you go into Tharkold, everyone that talks to your group is going to expect there to be one of you who is the leader. And they will only talk to that person. And if anyone else interrupts them, they will see that as a sign of weakness. So players should also be willing to play into it. No hard feelings or anything. It's always a delicate situation with these things, though, because just like with the Nile thing, yes, you want to go with the tropes of the realm you're in, but the fact that you are a Storm Knight does technically mean you can ignore them because you're using your own reality. But it's always a good thing to be on the lookout for when playing into the tropes can make the game more interesting. Because it's sure, it's easy to just have everybody go in and talk to the bartender for information. Okay, we're gonna make a persuasion. Hey, what's going on? Or if you want to be more in the moment, you walk over there and you just like smash their head down on the bar and demand to know where it is. So things like that can really help, both for player and GM, to just remember that there is a chain of command, and it's the chain, it often is the chain that is used to beat you with.
Yeah, and I will completely agree with the dominance chain thing, and add a couple of points. Is one is again like the Nile Empire, but for a completely different reason. Tharkaldu and thralls and race or whatever, they don't just go and kill everybody because they're in a bad world, you know, because then they don't have anybody less. Lower on the chain. So if you can intimidate them, get them on your chain, now you have people doing what you want them to do. So sure, if somebody that a Tharkaldu thinks is completely worthless for no reason tries to stand up to the Tharkaldu, that Tharkaldu is going to make an example of that person. But it doesn't mean that they're going to then kill everybody around them to, you know, say, look, I could kill all of you. You know, took out one, and that's all that was needed. Again, if a Tharkaldu challenges another one, it's going to depend on how close in power they are. If the current dominant Tharkaldu feels that the other one will get back into line, or if he feels that okay, this is going to be a weekly occurrence, that's going to, you know. Change that Tharkaldu's mind on how to do it, but it doesn't just mean I intimidate you and we fight, and we fight to the death. There's differences in that level because you're always thinking, and as we brought up, the Tharkaldu are lazy, so they are always thinking I need to have people to do my stuff for me because I don't want to do it. And if they just kill everybody that's rivals and stuff, then they don't have as many people to do those things so that they can be lazy.
And for some reason, whenever they try to make robots or some other kind of servitors to do stuff for them, they all turn evil and rebel and cause chaos.
Right. So it's best to stick with thralls and other, you know, Tharkal that are lower on the dominance chain. A house rule that I use, you reminded me when you're like sometimes, you know, persuasion or streetwise to figure out stuff, and sometimes you just grab a guy's head and slam it against the table. I use intimidate instead of like persuasion and streetwise for acquisitions while in Tharkold. So it's like a longer period of, you know, you intimidating and working your way around a dominance chain to get what you want, to add a little bit
Makes
of
sense.
flavor in it. So it's not an official rule by any means, but it's again, if you're a game master and you want yourself and your players to lean into the tropes a little bit, you could have that at least as an alternative, if not an outright replacement for it. Also, magic is something that is the and I'm doing air quotes here, the exclusivity of the Tharkoldu, the techno demons. They get really upset if mere humans or race dare to wield magic. So one of the things that originally it was a die roll that if you like caused a mishap on your magic, then you could summon a close by demon, or they it wasn't like
It's
ooh, out
smelly.
of nothing, they would smell the magic and head off in your direction. Once it was realized that a lot of game masters might not have seen that rule because I think it was in the game master section and not in the Tharkoldu section, or forget about it, then co additional Cosm cards that were added. So you could do the Cosm cards, you could do the rule, or you could do both if you
Yeah.
wanted to do both. But there is a chance if you have human and or elf or whatever, if you have non-Tharkoldu casting magic or using magic, it could call a Tharkold to you. And I've been in situations where it didn't happen just once in a fight, it happened twice. So they brought a Tharkoldu and they're like, oh man, this is bad, and they're trying to defeat the Tharkoldu, and they get him about halfway done, and then the mage mishaps again, and boom, second Tharkoldu arrives. So that's something that the Storm Knights might want to take into consideration.
It's not so bad if you've got a mistaken identity in your hand, though.
Right. And then the other thing is, for a similar reason, they hate psionics because they don't have psionics.
They just hate everything.
Well, yeah, they hate every I mean, they're beings created from hate and other bad things, but where they can tolerate that Tharkoldu to live if they do magic, that's allowed. But race humans can't do magic and definitely can't do psionic stuff because Tharkoldu can't do psionics. So that's putting something that they can't touch, that's a power that could rival them, into the hands of mortals. And that's also, but since they can't smell the magic, they can't sense the, or sorry, they can't smell the psionics and can't sense the psionics, if a psychic character mishaps or something, that's not
Yeah.
called the Tharkoldu.
And they probably really hate faith. They just never experience
Right, yeah,
it.
they don't. It's a hard even concept to wrap their head around with faith, and that is something that I actually really appreciate with Torg Eternity, because as much as I enjoyed Tharkold in classic Torg, it was basically everything better than the Cyber Papacy.
Right.
So once it came out, you had the same tech, you had better Spirit Axiom, you had a, I think it was a better Social Axiom, and tech was the same back then. Now it's one lower, but they can use the occult tech magic to get similar effects as the Cyber Papacy can do at Axiom level higher, but their faith has dropped down. So before it was just, we're the Cyber Papacy stuff, but better and twisted. And now it's actually distinct from the
Yeah.
Cyber Papacy. Their occult tech is different than cyberware, and they don't have faith. And the Cyber Papacy does. They don't have as much magic, and the magic is actually dropping. And the Cyber Papacy magic, while is heretical, is accepted
It's pretty good.
and pretty good, as you said, because you have to have the person to fight if you're the good guy. So that's what the magic
And there's
role
no
takes.
extremely overpowered techno magic this
Right,
time.
where you have the little chips in your neck that make you cast the best spells and get the best bonuses and etc. So I do really appreciate that with the Torg Eternity Tharkold, the fact that they even though they had a problem at first, they had a somewhat, and again, quote, successful invasion. At least they weren't completely
Yeah.
re rebelled,
Repulsed, yeah.
and then they had, the the three-way civil war going on. So there's been a lot of stuff that's happened in Tharkhold, and now at the cusp of year two, it's kind of like, are they going to get their stuff together or not? And that's kind of the question, you know. Everything's been in turmoil for the first year. Is the High Lord now going to be able to do something as the High Lord, or are things just going to fall apart further? So that's something that will be
Have to see.
interesting. Yeah, you'll have to see, or make up in your own Cosmverse, or fiddle around with until the official word comes out, doing some teases, little teases. So anything else important that we need to talk about with Tharkold?
One thing it I kind of mentioned this in the Ororsh one, but it depends on your group, right? But Ororsh is the realm of horror, whereas Tharkold is the realm of terror. So you should be willing, like it should be like Doom. Things should be jumping out of closets, things should be exploding and covering you in gore and viscera. It should be body horror. Both like the magical Hellraiser type or the hardware, intrusive cyberware type. Everything should look painful. Don't forget, just to access the courier, you have to jab a spike into the back of your neck. Everything should be painful. Everything should be dirty. It should not be good. It should be ultra violent. But again, like I said, it depends on your group. But that is the way I always look at it. Nile Empire is PG. The Living Land is PG-13. Tharkold is R, right? So you're kind of taking the kid gloves off a little bit and going a bit more serious, as long as that's what your group likes.
So Tharkold will be one that you'll definitely, that doesn't make sense, but you understand what I'm talking about. I would highly recommend you talk to your group about Tharkold and figure out what's too much, if there's too much. Because as you said, Tharkold is body horror, blood spatter all over, people just getting decapitated or disemboweled for fun, even though we said that's not necessarily what the Tharkhold do always do. There's other creatures and monsters and stuff out there that
They take your
do.
skin.
Their versions of zombie is a robotic head and spine that slithers like a snake and inserts itself into dead bodies to animate them. And so there's lots of different things that can happen or attach to the jaw and spinal cord, and that. So everything is kind of twisted. It's messed up. It has that horror aspect of it. Cenobite type creatures from Hellraiser are going to be out there doing evil stuff because, like the Tharkhold do, who are made of evil, it's not just a theoretical thing. It is made into flesh and blood. Tharkhold do are not just called demons for their looks, they are physical embodiments of evil, basically. And that's where the whole side of the aspirants come in. When Tharkhold invaded Earth and you have the Law of Glory, the Law of Hope, it kind of spread a little seed throughout Tharkhold, and there's the conservation law of conservation of evil, which is the amount of evil is constant. So if you have more things, they're less evil. And with Tharkhold explosion kind of their population getting larger, you have the occasional Tharkhold who, for whatever reason, questions their evilness. Then they're normally put down by other Tharkhold, but if they manage to survive, they're weaker, they're not as powerful because all that power that they got from being evil has been lessened because they're having conflicts in their mind. But it does allow a player to have a Tharkhold character somewhat be a good guy, or at least not an evil guy, and playing that role. Although that is a character that I also would suggest game masters think about before they just allow willy-nilly into their games, because The Tharkalduu will either not know their aspirants and treat them like Tharkalduu and expect them to be treated like Tharkalduu. They're going to know that they're aspirants and just want to outright kill them. And all the normal citizens and other people are going to believe that that is a Tharkalduu and there is
God
nothing.
help you if you go to the Cyber
Right.
Papacy.
And yeah, and if you go to the Cyber Papacy, you're a demon. And at first glance, you have cyberware. How horrible, horrible is that? So that character is going to be a challenge. I'll just say it will be a challenge to play and have in your game.
All the
So,
problems you have with an Adino's times five.
yes, yes. So, anything else that we can think about Tharkal before we wrap up?
The race are
Okay.
not
Yep.
nice.
No.
That's the big one. That's the big one.
The race are almost human. So they look human. They've had those wars of thousands of years upon the Tharkold ho in the Tharkold home planet, home cosm. And they've been so, in some ways, desensitized by endless wars, and many of them going to be generations of thralls and only knowing a life of serving the Tharkalduu who owns them. There's lots of things that they're not just your human who stumbled into a bad time trying to make the best of a situation. They have been over centuries beaten down, and while they do have some honor, and because without being a community, they would never have survived, they still see all the Tharkalduu as just evil, anybody who works with them or anything. And their whole thing is survival of the race. So if it comes between survival and the race and helping these humans, they're gonna let the humans just lay at the wayside. They're not gonna help or anything.
That's the thing. I mean, every realm, like every cosm, kind of has its own inbuilt ally for Storm Knights, and in theory, it's the race. But the race are also the thralls. You're going to be encountering them as enemies a ton of time, and you would think if they get freed that they would just want to join up, but not necessarily. That's what a lot of those marauders are made up of as well. I mean, look at Jazrael. I mean, just because you've been subjugated by demons doesn't mean you're not also a problem. So that's something else too. I always usually have the race be very brusque and like not willing to put up with crap from people. And so yeah, they're just not happy-go-lucky individuals.
No, they're very focused. Intense and focused. So, anything else or
The last
last
thing I
thing?
had on my list was there's surprisingly high tech stuff in
Yes.
Tharkold. Not to put huge spoilers, but anyone who knows what the word Klein bottle means will know that there's some out there stuff
Yes.
that's technically Tech 25 somehow. And they can kind of get around things better than the Cyber Papacy can. Because as I mentioned before, the Cyber Papacy is very limited in what is released. And Tharkold is to an extent, except it's just limited by the imagination of evil. And evil has a pretty big imagination. So there's a lot of potential for weird stuff, especially in the Blasted Lands, where who knows what things transformed into. And it's worth noting, we haven't seen any yet that I know of. But gene mods, Tech 25, and totally fine for a Tharkalduu. Just putting that
Yes, you can come up with some crazy combinations. I guess the last thing I wanted to say also in Tharkold, we've been kind of beating around the bush, but to put the focus, pain and suffering are literal currency. So they have real machines that you hook somebody up to. It basically tortures them, and their pain and suffering becomes a crystal called Vril, and that crystal can power devices, whether that's weapons or vehicles or whatever. It is a fuel. And because of that, they can be used trading just like currency, and in many places even better than currency. With that paper stuff and those coins, those can't do anything. This crystal here can power my vehicle for a couple of months, or my house, or the city, or the village I live in, or whatever. It can do something that is tangible. So that is something to think about, that real is pain and suffering consolidated into physical form, and people are willing to put others through that to gain a benefit. Some of them might enjoy it, some of them might not, but they'll do it to get that benefit of that hard cash, as to say.
I've also done it in some places because of the high social axiom, where there might be a commune of mutants or something where they will voluntarily take turns doing the pain, right? And there might be people in the cities who are professional pain takers, right? Like their job is to go to the power station and get hooked up and feel pain for 8 hours and then go home, right? It's possible. But I think, yeah, a lot of it is what Lehman said, where people get abducted and forced to feel pain until they can't, and then they're discarded. So that's there's a lot of blood of real out there.
So, having said that, I think that we did a pretty good breakdown of the setting slash purpose of Pan Pacifica and Tharkhold. Again, you can email us at torgdcd@gmail.com, and we'll reply to your we'll read your email and reply to it. But until next time, we hope you have fun in your own Cosmverse. Bye.